Members and audience, thank you for coming in on this rainy Saturday for the Transportation Conference Committee, where we'll adopt the report. The members of the Transportation Committee, Conference Committee, have been appointed by the Speaker of the House, include myself, Representative Mike Beard, my colleague, Representative Mike Nelson, and Representative Mike Benson, who had a graduation ceremony today, couldn't be with us. Senator Gimsey, would you like to introduce the Senate conferees?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, and members, on behalf of the Senate Transportation Committee, thank you for being here also to take a look at this final policy bill, and I appreciate our conferees, Senator John Hall and Senator Scott Dibble, for agreeing to be on the committee and for being here today.
Thank you, Senator Gimsey. Senator Gimsey is the chair of the Senate Transportation Committee and my counterpart in the Senate. Of course, I chair the House Transportation Committee. Most of you in the audience know that. Thank you for your attention to these matters through the course of this legislative year as we've put together the bill we're going to talk about here in just a few moments. Let's see, members, what we're going to do is I'm going to call on Senator Gimsey for a moment, in a moment, to offer the delete all amendment. We had two transportation policy bills over the last 2 years, House File 1284 last year, which ended up the year stuck on the general register in the House and general orders in the Senate. Then this year, of course, we brought it back to the general register in the House, moved a second policy bill, House File 2685, and we conferred these. We, the senator and myself and some of our staff members got together here over the last few days and worked with the governor's staff, which we really appreciated, Governor Dayton's staff, with their valuable input, putting together a bill that we could actually get passed on the House floor, the Senate floor, and to the governor in a form that the governor can sign. So with that, we'll get to the bill. It's not my intention to take public testimony today. This is an open public hearing. There are more copies being made of the Delete All Amendment and the spreadsheet that describes what's in the bill. Mr. Nisley, they will be here shortly, I assume. Okay, there will be some more. You'll notice when they come in. Members, and if, members of the audience, if you wish for more, they'll be here shortly, and we'll go from that. Importantly, though, the conferees all have everything you need to be fully informed, ready to vote. Here in a little bit. Good, thank you. Senator Gimsey, thank you for your good work on this. I'll take a motion from you at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and for your participation in this also. And I would move the transportation policy delete all amendment.
The delete all amendment is before us. Members, there's a few pages here, and it represents the good work of the both committees and both bodies over the last 2 years. Senator Gimsey, would you like to explain it or call on someone to explain the delete all to us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think what we'll do is have our very capable staff go through the provisions of the delete everything amendment. And I think we'll start out with Bonnie Berzofsky.
Ms. Berzofsky, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chairs and members, I will start going through the delete all, and I will be explaining the Senate only language that is in here, and Mr. Burris, I believe, will be reviewing the House only and combined language that is in this delete all amendment. The first two articles are Senate only language. The first article contains trunk highway fund appropriations. Article 1 appropriates money to MnDOT, a total of $17,530,000. And this would fund from the Trunk Highway Fund various facilities, truck stations, headquarters buildings, and so on. It also contains a $30,000 appropriation to allow the Department of Transportation to update its permit system for a new one-stop registration initiative that is contained in this bill. Article 2 is trunk highway bonds, and the only project funded under Article 2 is $16 million for the new maintenance facility in Rochester and the corresponding remodeling of the current district headquarters building. And then Article 3 is transportation policy.
And
okay, Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Article 3 substantially reflects the House and Senate language from House File 2685, previously Senate File 2321 in the Senate. Section 1 is a designation of the Black and Yellow Trail. Sections 2 through 4, as well as Section 62, is a MnDOT provision on construction manager, general contractor authority. There's a data practices component that's moved separately. Section 5 is a House-only provision on working capital loans. It updates definitions for a MnDOT program. It's also an agency provision. And then sections 6 through 9 and a few other sections are Senate-only language.
Okay.
That address state aid rulemaking, some updates to that, modifications to bridge inspection signing account to continue to allocate some special permit funds into that account and provide for a legislative report on single source water permitting process. Sections 10 and 11, again, is Senate language. This also exists in House File 1284 in a similar version. This provides for a transition off of state aid over 4 years for cities who had been receiving state aid and had their population drop below the threshold for state aid. Sections 13 and 14 and as well as 65 is a MnDOT agency provision on moving bridge inspection and bridge-related provisions into statutes and out of rules. Several sections starting on sections 15 and 15 through 17, there are a few others, 21, 23 to 26, 30 to 33, and 41. Deal with electric-assisted bicycle regulation definition change. This is a combination of House and Senate language, and it modifies the regulation of electric-assisted bicycles to essentially be treated as bicycles, with a couple other clarifications and changes built in. Also in Article 3, sections 18 and 19, as well as 42, updates the anatomical gift donation provisions that were enacted last year. This is some changes in fixes in the process. Section 20 is House only. It's a Department of Public Safety provision on eliminating a surcharge on a special plate for one-ton pickups. Section 22, again, is House only, is a titling provision that allows for titling on older motor vehicles where the ownership can't be determined and allows for the titling with a surety bond. It's kind of the core component of that. Sections 27 and 43, you'll note that we jumped up from 22 to 27 because some of the other sections have already been mentioned in discussing previously, so I'm not identifying every single section, but rather all the provisions as I walk through this.
Okay.
Again, sections 27 and 43 deals with a new permit for motorcycle road guards. This was House and Senate. There were just technical differences, and it takes the Senate language in the delete all. Section 28 is a reporting provision. Again, it's a MnDOT agency provision providing for DPS and DPS accident information to be provided to MnDOT. And then, Mr. Chair and members, sections 29 and 34 provide for studded tires, allow studded tires on bicycles, and expand use of bicycle lights at night. Section 38 and also Article 4, Section 12.
Mr. Burris, stand down for just a moment here while we. There are folks, well, you can see the the lay of the land. You can stand down for just a moment. And the members, while members of the audience are picking up additional copies, if you have a question that's really a burning issue, just grab my attention. We can pause at the moment or take notes, and whenever we're done with the presentation, we'll stand for questions and discussion. So we can do that. Excuse me. I should point out that subdivision 30, section 34, the studded tires was actually a Con Biskin's proposal. So a truly strange bipartisan cooperation in putting this bill together. It's been a good thing.
That's the trip.
Okay, it looks like the audience has settled back in. Mr. Burris, if you'd like to pick up and proceed, that'd be great.
Mr. Chair and committee members, again, we're at section 38 in Article 3, okay. And there's also the same provision, another section, which is section 12 in Article 4, or a portion of what's in section 12, to clarify that. These are provisions related to weight limits enforcement, the distance increase on first haul, and overweight assessment of fines, and it sets a 90-day window for the assessment of fines, which was the Senate language. The provisions had been moving both the House and Senate. Another provision that was both in the House and Senate is on the color of sheriff vehicles. That's in sections 39 and 40. And the next couple of sections are Senate provisions.
Ms. Berezovsky, you want to speak about the Senate provisions? Is that what we're pausing for?
Are you following? What section are we on? Sorry.
Section. Matt, where were we? Oh, Bruce, where were we? Section 40.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I was misreading as I went along here.
Apparently, Ms. Berezovsky, you're still.
I'll continue along, yeah. If I might, Mr. Chair.
Please continue.
Section 44, again, we're in Article 3, is a freight rail economic development study. The delete all takes the Senate language, which includes a cap on the amount of funds coming from Mercy to fund the study.
Mm-hmm.
Section 45 is a Senate-only provision that is establishing a Safe Routes to Schools program. Section 46 is in both House and Senate language and eliminates administrative rules from applying to certain non-emergency medical transportation. Mm-hmm. Section 47 is a provision that's in the Senate language in 2685, but is also moving in the House, House File 1284. The amendment includes the Senate provisions on making only second and subsequent offenses a misdemeanor. So the first offense for rail bank property offenses would be a petty misdemeanor. And then, Mr. Chair, sections 48 to 51 on tax exemptions are Senate only provisions.
Mr.
Now
Chair.
Would you like to, Ms. Berezovsky?
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Chair, those sections provide a gas tax exemptions for medical assistance vehicles that provide medical assistance transportation to certain adult daycare programs, and also for mobile medical vehicles that provide medical and dental services. Those are exempt from gas tax and also from motor vehicle sales tax.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see, back to Mr. Burris for 52, sections 52 and 3.
Mr. Chair and committee members, sections 52 and 53 concern escorts of overdimensional loads, and there were different approaches between the House and Senate. The delete all includes Senate language on narrowing the allowed overdimensional load outside of the impending new permit program,
mm-hmm.
So that manufactured homes for the next 2 years, there's essentially a cap of 2 years, could be moved as overdimensional loads, excluding or outside of the new permit program that's going to be put into place shortly.
Okay.
Section 54 is on state patrol escort fees. There were differences between the House and Senate. The delete all amendment includes the Senate language, which does not permit agency fee setting in future years. So it changes the fees on certain state patrol escorts, but additional legislative authorization would be needed in future years for that fee amount to change. Then, Mr. Chair and members, Section 55 is a House-only provision that is different language from what had moved through the House, representing a potential compromise. And this allows for transit capital bonding authorization for the Met Council, and increases the amount from the bonding authorization that had been proposed and had been moving through the legislative process this year, and provides additional funding to the opt-outs to essentially seek to backfill lost reserves for capital projects that had built up among some of the opt-out providers.
Okay.
Section 56 is a House-only provision on mini trucks, and it would extend the sunset on a local permit for mini trucks to be able to operate under local authority. It extends that by 2 years. That's included in the delete all. Sections 57 to 59 are agency provisions on trunk highway turnbacks. That's House only. Section 60, again, is a House only provision that provides for a stakeholder group to address noise impacts during the design process on trunk highway projects along I-94 at 280. And then Section 61 is a Senate-only provision in 2685, but is also moving with identical language in House File 1284, and this provides for a payment reflecting roughly the lost municipal state aid to cities that dropped out in fiscal 12 from the state aid system.
Okay.
Section 64 is a recodification technical that's included, and then Section 66 is a technical provision. And that, Mr. Chair, brings us to Article 4 of the Delete All Amendment. Article 4 reflects provisions that had passed the House in House File 1284, as well as provisions that are moving in the Senate in Senate File 1072. Starting in with those, Mr. Chair, mm-hmm. and members, Sections 1 to 4 and 20, again on the topic of electric-assisted bicycles, these provisions allow for those bicycles to be operated by default on state and local trails unless they are prohibited. But by default, they would be allowed on such trails. Several sections are MnDOT agency provisions and various housekeeping. Sections 5 and 6, 17 to 18, 41 to 43, as well as a repealer. This includes some trail language, some changes in or clarifications in driving rules on arrows, and a couple of updates to federal references and commercial vehicle regulations. Section 7 is a Memorial Bridge designation, Ariana McNamara. Section 8 is contains another designation. It's the Liebenstein Memorial Highway. And then Section 9 is a Senate-only provision on eliminating the local levy effort that towns would need to put forth in order to receive a pot of state aid. Sections 10 and also a repealer modify conservation officer vehicles. That's in both House and Senate. And then a Senate-only provision is in several sections, 11 through 13, 25 to 26 and 29. This is on re-registration of higher gross vehicle weight, which you can get into further if you have any questions on that.
There may be when we're done. Let's see.
Section 14 is in both House and Senate on public impound lot definition change. Section 15 allows for road authorities to get an exemption from overweight vehicles for transporting materials related to snow and ice removal. Section 16 and 33 establish exemptions from holding a driver's license for railroad crews when operating railroads or in conjunction with rail operation. That's in both House and Senate. Section 19 is also both House and Senate eliminating turn signal requirements when in a roundabout. Section 21 is a MnDOT agency provision expanding allowable shoulder use by buses, and that is in both the House and Senate. Section 22, again, is in both House and Senate and allows for collector emergency vehicles to be operated with otherwise non-conforming types of lights under certain circumstances. Mm-hmm. Sections 23 and 24 relate to a change in the definition, in the requirements for when a child restraint is mandated, and the delete all amendment includes a Senate provision that modifies or expands the use of where the proceeds from fines for child restraint violations could be expended or allocated. Sections 27 and 28 and Section 40 as well are MnDOT agency provisions on special permits and when a medical waiver could be denied. Sections 30, 35, and 49 are a House-only provision on speed limit violations and when the violation would go on a person's record. And the language in the delete all amendment reflects a shift or a change from what was in the original House position. And the delete all language provision establishes essentially a two-year window for the additional 5 miles an hour over the limit when a violation would not go on a person's driving record, and also provides for a legislative report on the public safety impacts on that change. Sections 31 to 32, as well as 36 to 37, and a repealer constitute a Department of Public Safety DWI set of changes that include some fix-up from legislative changes made, I believe, in 2010. And some clarifications. Section 34 allows for credit card payment of driver's license related fees, and that's in both House and Senate. It's identical language. Section 38 is a MnDOT agency provision allowing for one pilot project on using alternative financing. That's both House and Senate language. Sections 39 as well as 48 and a repealer modify trunk highway reporting and centralize two different reports into one and change the threshold for what and information on what gets reported. That's in both House and Senate. And then sections 44 to 45 are House-only language that modify the requirements for when a contractor for smaller public projects would need to carry a surety bond. Section 46 is in both House and Senate language and provides a variance for a seaplane base. Section 47 is a Senate-only provision that provides for debt forgiveness, financing shift for Painesville airport. And then finally, Section 51 is another technical provision.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. Senator Gimsey, it's quite an amendment you have there. Good work.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for your input and Matt for going through that, through the bill. And I guess it's your
turn to stand for questions. All right. Members, questions to the amendment for either the author or for staff? And we do have a couple of agency folks here today if we just need to drill down further. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I just want to make a comment more than a question on the pilot car provision in here for the manufactured homes is during the rules making of the process of the pilot car bill that we passed a few years back, testimony was given and that people talked about and that the manufactured home people were using people, individuals using their individual car insurance and not carrying car insurance, commercial or a commercial rider on that, which in my understanding and speaking to people that sell insurance makes that their personal car insurance void while they're doing this. And I want to make sure that nothing in this provision here exempts them from that and having to have either that rider on their commercial insurance or have a commercial policy, because that's putting the public at danger and other people's insurance at danger if they do get in an accident or have trouble with that.
Good. Thank you for the comment. To be noted for the record, and as you're aware, there was a carefully crafted amendment agreement that this provision in the bill would be expiring about the time the new rules are taking effect, and I imagine that the rules that are in play now would remain in effect until the new rules take over, this amendment notwithstanding, unless the department wants to comment contrary or to the otherwise, and I don't see their disagreeing with our discussion. Thank you, Representative Nelson, for pointing that out. Further discussions or comments for the amendment or for the agencies who were involved in putting this amendment together? Seeing none, members, let's move to a vote. As many as are in favor of the delete all amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Members, we have the conference committee report in front of us. Now, if you'll give the chair just a moment to determine where we're at in the process. Do we need to take a vote again on the conference committee report now that we've amended it? That's the motion that will be before us. Is there further discussion to the conference committee report before we take a vote on that? And I'm looking in the audience to see if anybody's absolutely compelled to testify about it, although it's pretty much a done deal at this point. Before we vote, let me assure the audience. There we go. Yes. I just want to say to the agency folks and others who testified and who helped craft the bill, thank you for your goodwill and your input, your collective wisdom putting this together. From the governor's staff who pitched in and stayed with us, thank you for doing that. And all of our staff here that went through many different iterations of the bill. Some trees sacrificed their lives, some toner was invested, but I think we got about as good a product as we can get for a transportation policy bill from this committee. So, members, thank you for your work, and folks, thank you for your work. Senator Dibble.
Thanks. I just also wanted to echo my thanks to the work of the chairs and staff, the governor's office, and the agencies. Thanks as well, in particular, and making sure that I was kept abreast of developments as they were occurring. I'm comfortable with the bill. I feel a little, as I said, it's my similar speech on the Senate. A few things here, but it's a product of compromise, a few of my good friends in my caucus are having a couple things drop out, but I know a number of your members as well are probably seeing some issues and efforts of theirs drop out of the bill as well. So I'll probably call them before they actually see the bill, just to forewarn them what's coming, and I think we'll have a good bill that'll pass with comfortable margins on the Senate floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome, Senator. Senator Gibbs, any final comments?
I would also like to echo your comments of thanks for the governor's office and his staff. Like you say, they stuck with us through the ups and downs of the negotiations and discussions on a wide variety of provisions in here, and you were very helpful in enlightening us as to the direction that the governor wanted. I'd like to thank my staff for 2 years, really. This reflects 2 years of work and all of the, again, ups and downs and the changes, even in the past couple of days that we've seen on this, and your quick and very good response to those changes, and your patience with us as chairs as we went through this process. Appreciate it very much. And Senator Dibble, your advice and involvement in the committee as the lead, very much appreciated. We had some raucous discussions, and but that's a part of the process, like you said. Yeah, it worked out good, and I appreciated all of that as we worked through this. And I would also like to thank the authors of each of the provisions that are in this bill. You know, everybody takes ownership of their particular bills and their provisions in this, and you know, I hope that the final product here reflects well on their efforts, and just be glad to have this bill done and move to the governor here as quickly as possible. Thank you. And Senator Howe, as my vice chair, your consultation and advice on a number of issues, and as we went through the process, filling in for me, it was very much appreciated. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Gimsey, Chair Gimsey. And yes, Senator Dibble, it's the stuff in the bill is good stuff. A lot of people's work here, but you're right. It's the stuff that we had to drop out that causes me the most pain. But like Grandpa says, if it's a good idea this year, it'll be a good idea again next year. So yeah, we'll be back and take it up again if the voters concur. With that, members, let's vote on the motion. We have the conference committee report before us as amended. As many as are in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. We have a conference committee report. Thank you. Now, members, I do need to ask you to stick around for just a few more moments, because there actually is an official version coming down that has the places for our signature. Although we'll easily make the 12-hour rule for Monday, I hope we can bring this up on Monday. I do need your signatures on that. And any further comments before we declare us adjourned? Thank you for your service to the state of Minnesota, members. We are adjourned.